Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, January 21st, 2025, Zechariah.
All right, before we get started, a couple of things. The evangelism team will be at Child Haven this Saturday. So if you would pray for them, that the evangelism team will be channels of God's grace, tools in His hands, that the grace gospel is given clearly and accurately, that God would prepare the hearts of all those children and staff and draw by His hand of grace the ones that are supposed to be there, that many sons might be brought into glory. It's only God. It's a miracle that they ask us to come back almost monthly, month after month after month. This is a government-run organization. And they ask us back almost every single month to give the grace gospel to these kids. That's a fantastic blessing. Also, Rich Blair is over at Las Ventanas Senior Living. He is conducting the Giving the Heaven special over there on every Wednesday. Now, there were some people quarantined last week, but they still had new people there. So pray that God will draw by His hand of grace all the ones who are supposed to be there. Pray for the salvation of the unbelievers, edification of the believers. And that God would use Rich Blair in a very fantastic way while he's there. So that's at the Las Ventanas Senior Living every Wednesday. And, in case you didn't hear Mr. Al, this Sunday, congregational meeting, this Sunday. This is a humdinger when you have a congregational meeting. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 1. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank You, sir, for Your infinite and Your matchless grace. And we thank You, Heavenly Father, that You have magnified Your word over all of Your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This is Tom Gilbreth. It's entitled Satan's Funhouse. You see the fun house as you walk down the midway. You hear terrified screams before you ever step inside. A fun house plays tricks on your brain. People scream in terror and then laugh at their own reactions. Each moment of shock induces a fight or flight response, surging adrenaline through the body. Some might enjoy that excitement briefly, but no one would want to live there. Its chaotic images shock the system, and it is seriously loud. In the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, he described the realms of Satan as the kingdom of noise. A funhouse is a kind of kingdom of noise, except that it's always a bluff. The dangers are never real. However, on the other hand, the world that we live in is very real. But we don't always know the validity of the dangers it presents. As last day's deception grows, it becomes increasingly difficult to differentiate between the false and the true. Is the image a fake? Or did that really happen? Is the esteemed scholar telling the truth? Or is she manipulating the public for political reasons? Does the somber anchorman really know what he's talking about? When the disciples asked Jesus for signs of his coming and of the end of the age in Matthew chapter 24, his first words were, "Take heed that no one deceives you." And that's all that's going on in the world today. Who's the greatest deceiver of all time? The ruler of planet Earth, Satan. That's all that's going on. Deception, deceiving, deceiving, lies, lies, lies. Take heed, Jesus said, that no one deceives you. Throughout his discourse, he points to deception as a sign of the end, as do several other end-time Bible prophecies. People have been deceiving one another since Adam and Eve. So Jesus was clearly talking about something more extreme. Today, lying and deception have become industrialized. We now have machines with which to spread lies like no generation before us. More than that, we have machines with the ability to create their own lies. Now that's new and unexpected. The internet and artificial intelligence, AI, have done for deception what paved roads did for cars. Futurism magazine recently ran an article headlined, "Apple's artificial intelligence is constantly butchering," huge news stories sent to millions of users. The article says that Apple artificial intelligence pushes breaking news data to users while often butchering it beyond recognition. Some might say, well, that's not deception, that's just programming error. But whether or not it was the programmer's intention, when artificial intelligence presents false facts as news, it still deceives people. The problem grows exponentially when individuals, groups, or nations use artificial intelligence to deceive on purpose. That's already happening on a massive scale, and it's going to get worse. An inadvertent error can be called misinformation. An intentional lie is disinformation. Some of the most unlikely people now seem to recognize the new level of deception that this generation faces. In his farewell address, President Biden warned, Americans are being buried under an avalanche of misinformation and disinformation. Yeah, came from him. He has his own agenda for choosing this moment to attack technology and social media firms. But he's right that we are being inundated with an avalanche of misinformation and disinformation. How do we sort it out? It's as if we are in a funhouse where some of the monsters are illusions and some are real. The prince of this world, Satan, loves fear and confusion. But God is the opposite. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not the author of confusion. In John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Need discernment? Well, you need to grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You need to find a sound Bible teaching church and consistently and faithfully assemble and learn and believe the Word of God. There's your guide on. Your guide on is the absolute truth of the Word of God. And as you have that absolute truth of the Word of God and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, then your prayers become effective. The prayer of a grace righteous believer is powerful and effective and accomplishes much. Do you feel afraid, fear? Well, he has stayed close to the Lord's side. Here's what God says. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to advance to maturity and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And when virtue, love is brought to completion in your heart, you will love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what it means to be close to the Lord's side. No matter what pops up in Satan's funhouse, it never surprises God. Whether the danger be real or false, do as he said. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. All right. Zechariah chapter 1, we've exegeted the first two verses. We're flying. In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah the prophet, who is the son of Berechiah and the grandson of Iddo. Verse 2, the Lord was very angry with a great anger with your forefathers. Now in verse 2, your forefathers refers to the reversionistic Jews that went into the fifth cycle of national discipline. They came under military invasion and national destruction. This is the fifth cycle of discipline administered by Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans in Jeremiah's day on the returnees' forefathers. The apostasy and degeneracy of the returnees' forefathers in Jeremiah's day caused the Lord to be angry with a great anger. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. In this judgment on the southern kingdom Judah, the Lord used evil one, the Chaldeans, to destroy evil two, client nation Judah, in apostasy and degeneracy. The Jews in Jeremiah's day rebelled against the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. They rebelled against the Lord's faithful servant, Jeremiah and Hosea. They rebelled against and hated Jeremiah. They hated Jeremiah and his teaching of the Word of God. They refused the prophet's teaching to turn back to God and His Word, to change their thinking, to repent from human viewpoint to divine viewpoint, from negative volition to positive volition, from arrogance to humility. There was no transformation. There was no renewing of their mind. They refused to stop their idolatrous practices. Yet God was now ready to turn from His anger and comfort this returning generation of Jewish people. But first of all, they would have to put away their sins, rebound, get out of the cosmic system that brought on the destruction of the southern kingdom in their forefathers' day and the 70-year captivity. Now that brings us to verse 3. And now in verse 3, the Lord extends a gracious invitation. Zechariah 1 verse 3, we always start with the King James. And therefore, say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts. Now we're going to have this Lord of hosts is Jehovah Tsevaoth. And in this verse, it's used three times in this one verse. We have the conjunction vav, prefix to the cow perfect of the verb amer, plus the preposition el with the third person plural masculine suffix, plus the adverb ko with the cow perfect of the verb amer repeated, and then the tetragrammaton with the plural of the noun sava, which is Jehovah Tsevaoth. The conjunction vav is an inferential vav and therefore is correctly translated therefore. It is an inference from what we have in verse 2. And then we have the verb amer, which is one of the major communication words in the Hebrew. Aleph, A-M-A-R. Amer. And Amer is the basic verb of communication. It means to say, it means to tell, it means to teach, communicate. The preposition El looks like this in the Hebrew. Aleph, E-L, L. The preposition El means to, when you have it with the third person plural masculine suffix, is to them. To them is to the remnant of returnees coming back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city and rebuild the temple. And then the adverb ko K-O-H, ko. The adverb ko is translated thus, and then we have amer repeated, the cow perfect of amer repeated. Thus saith, thus saith, or thus says, and then the Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies. Literally, if you translated this, it's the Lord of the armies, the Lord of war, the Lord Almighty. Those are all excellent translations, not the Lord of hosts. The Lord of the armies, the Lord of war, the Lord Almighty. So the corrected translation thus far, therefore, say to them, the remnant of returnees from Persia, thus says the Lord of the armies, thus says the Lord Almighty. And then we have, turn unto me, saith the Lord of hosts. This is the cal imperative of the verb shuv, plus the preposition el with the first person singular suffix, repeated, plus the cal passive participle of na'am, plus the tetragrammaton with the plural of the noun sava repeated, Jehovah Tsevaoth. This is the second time. Now we have the verb shava. Or not shava, the verb shuv, excuse me. S-H long U-B, shuv. A couple of things on this verb. Shuv means to turn back. To turn back, to return. It's in the imperative, and the imperative is a command. This is a mandate to all of these returnees coming back. They've left Persia under the decree of Cyrus, repeated by Darius, who were great, great believers. And they wanted them to return and rebuild the temple so that they could worship the living and true God. They believed in the living and true God, Jesus Christ. And they wanted them to go back and rebuild the temple. Now, as they're going back, the Persians, Cyrus and Darius, they're a lot greater than the people going back. With the exception of Zechariah and Zerubbabel, for the most of them, they haven't turned back to God and His Word. They still have to rebound. They still have to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. God wants them to get their spiritual priority straight. Build the temple. Get the temple rebuilt so you can worship the living and true God. Don't worry about building the fortifications around the city. Jesus Christ will be a wall of fire and protect Him at this time. But get your spiritual priorities in order. And so this command, point three, is a mandate to turn back to God Turn back to the Word of God. So this means to turn back, to return. Turn back to God and His Word. That's the mandate here. Imperative. And certainly this is very important in Client Nation USA today. Turn back to God and His Word. For even though God has been gracious and brought some of the Jews back into the land, most of them still haven't turned back to God and His Word. Even though God has been very gracious and brought some of the Jews back into the land, most of them still haven't turned back to God and His Word. 5, they still haven't repented. They have not changed their thinking. To turn back to God and His Word means to repent. It means to change your thinking. That's repentance. And then the preposition L with the first person singular suffix is to me. Who is me? To Jehovah Tsevaoth, to the Lord of the armies, to the Lord Almighty. And then we have the verb na'am. N-A-olive-A-M, na'am. The verb na'am means to declare. And then we have the tetragrammaton with the plural of tzava. Jehovah Tsevaoth is then repeated. So, corrected translation. Therefore, say to them, the remnant of returnees, thus says the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, turn back to me, declares the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty. And then, as, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Here's the third time we have Jehovah Tsevaoth. So this is the conjunction vav, prefix to the cal imperfective shuv, once again, with the first person singular suffix, plus the preposition el, repeated with the second person plural masculine suffix, plus the cal perfect of amer, once again, and Jehovah Tsevaoth, repeated for the third time. The conjunction vav is a continuative vav and correctly translated and. The verb shuv, we already had it, is repeated. But this time, we have a difference. This time, the subject of the verb is Jehovah Tsevaoth. This time, the subject of the verb is the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty. So, one, when the Lord is the subject, the verb shuv is an anthropopathism. When the Lord is the subject of the verb shuv, then this is an anthropopathism, describing the function of the integrity of God, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. So when the Lord is the subject, with the verb shuv, then this is an anthropopathism describing the function of the holiness of God, the integrity of God, the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. 2, our mankind's contact point with God is His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. That is our contact point with God, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Three, what the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. Four, what the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. What the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. Five, God is immutable. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is immutable, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Six, therefore, God is always infinite holiness. He is always infinite, absolute righteousness and perfect justice. He is always infinite integrity. He is always infinite virtue. Seven. Literally, this says, you repent, and then I will repent. Literally, this says, you repent, and then I will repent. Now, what is he saying when he said that? Principle. Point eight is the principle. You have to repent. You have to change your thinking and turn back to God and His Word. You have to repent. You have to change your thinking and turn back to God and His Word before the integrity of God will change from discipline and judgment to blessing. Before the integrity of God will change from discipline and judgment to blessing. So you have to repent and change your thinking and turn back to God and His Word before the integrity of God will change from discipline and judgment to blessing. The preposition L is repeated, but this time it is with the second person plural suffix, to you. Cal perfect of Amer, again repeated, says, and then again, Jehovah Tsevaoth for the third time, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty. So who's speaking? The Lord of the armies. The Lord Almighty, Jesus Christ. Point one. In Zechariah 1, verse 3, this title, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, is used three times in this verse. Two, as we learned in the book of Joel, that was our last Old Testament book, Israel is the Lord's treasured possession. As we learned in the book of Joel, Israel is the Lord's treasured possession. Three, therefore the Lord desires to be gracious to them and show compassion to them. Therefore, the Lord desires to be gracious to them and show compassion to them. Israel is the Lord's treasured possession. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. Isaiah 30, 18. Isaiah 30, verse 18. Yet the Lord desires to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Happinesses, Asherah, happinesses to all the ones who wait for Him, long for the Lord. That is, who develop occupation with Jesus Christ. Happiness to those whom the Lord Jesus Christ you love with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Great happinesses to all of you. 4. The Lord of the armies does not want them to follow in the footsteps of their forefathers and wind up under the fifth cycle of national discipline. The Lord of the armies does not want them to follow in the footsteps of their forefathers and wind up under the fifth cycle of national discipline. So Zechariah is saying, don't make the same failures your forefathers made in Jeremiah's day. Zechariah is saying, don't make the same failures your forefathers made in Jeremiah's day. So verse 3 now in corrected translation says, therefore say to them, the remnant of returnees from Persia, thus says the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, turn back to me, declares the Lord of the armies, and I will turn back to you. The integrity of God will change from discipline and judgment to blessing, says the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty. Now that brings us to verses 4 through 6, where Zechariah gives a dire warning. A dire warning. By way of introduction to this paragraph, verses 4 through 6, number one, you have just returned from 70 years in exile and slavery. You have just returned from 70 years in exile and slavery. Two, in Jeremiah's day, your forefathers turned away from God and His Word. They turned away from God and His Word. Three. They entered into great apostasy and degeneracy, which resulted in the administration of the fifth cycle of national discipline. They entered into great apostasy and degeneracy, which resulted in the administration of the fifth cycle of national discipline. Resulted in military invasion by Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldean army. It resulted in national destruction. No more Southern kingdom as a client nation to God. Gone. Destroyed. Gone through the fifth cycle of national discipline. Four, they went through horrific suffering and personal and national disaster. They went through horrific suffering and personal and national disaster. Five, Zechariah is giving them a stern warning, a dire warning. And this is given to the remnant of returnees. And the dire warning of these returnees from Persia is, learn from your forefathers' failures. Don't go where they went. You that are returning, the returnees, the remnant of returnees, learn from your forefathers' failures. Don't go where they went. Zechariah 1 verse 4 then starts out in the King James, be not as your fathers. We have the negative al joined by a makef to the kal imperfect of the verb hayah with the second person plural masculine subject plus the adverb kaf prefixed to the masculine plural of av with the second person plural masculine suffix. We have here the Hebrew to be verb hayah. H-A-Y-A-H. Hayah. That's the Hebrew to be verb, but we have with it the negative, the old negative vowel. You think there would be a positive vowel, but there is a preposition now. You want to be a preposition, not a negative. Okay. This is negative vowel. Aleph, A-L. And so it correctly is translated, do not be or stop being. Do not be or stop being. And then the adverb kaf. And this means like or as, translated like or as. And then we have our friend again of Aleph A-B and of can be a father but also forefathers, and here's forefathers with the second person plural suffix your forefathers. Your forefathers were the Jews in the day of Jeremiah who went through the horrific suffering and disaster of the military invasion of the Chaldeans. So the corrected translation is, do not be like your forefathers, the Jews in the day of Jeremiah, unto whom the former prophets have cried saying. This is a preposition L with the third person plural suffix plus the relative pronoun asher plus the definite article ha prefixed to the plural of the noun navi modified by the plural of the adjective rishon with the definite article ha plus the kal perfect of kara and the kal infinitive construct of amer. So we have the preposition L once again. You know this one now. Preposition L, to, but when it's combined with the relative pronoun asher with the third person plural suffix, it means to whom. and to whom is your forefathers. And then we have Navi. N-A-B, long I, Navi. Navi is the word prophet, but we have it in the plural, and the plural is Nevi'im. Nevi'im, the prophets. Nevi'im is modified by the adjective Rishon. Oh, got to put the doggers there. R-I-S-H, long O-N, Rishon. And Rishon means former in time or the earlier prophets. Earlier prophets is the way you want to translate. And then kara. This is a little different verb than what we've had before. Kara. Q-A-R-A, olive. Kara. A couple of things. Kara literally means to call out, to cry out, to proclaim loudly. To call out, to cry out, to proclaim loudly. Two, kara means to cry unto someone. To proclaim loudly. Three, when the subjects of kara are the Nevi'im, the prophets, then kara means, first of all, the dogmatic teaching of the Word of God by God's servants, the prophets. So when the subject of kara are the Nevi'im, the prophets, then kara means, first of all, the dogmatic teaching of the Word of God by God's servants, the prophets. And notice, kara is to proclaim loudly. Now that seems to offend some of you, even in yours, that if Pastor Olson proclaims loudly. Well, here we have it right here. Here's kara and the Nevi'im, proclaimed through dogmatic teaching of the Word of God. They proclaimed it loudly. Now, well, some of you have, your hearing is not too well. You love it when I proclaim loudly, see? So I'm just thinking about you people that can't hear. I'm going to help you out and proclaim loudly. That's kara, dogmatic teaching of the Word of God, loudly. Secondly, it means the proclamation of the God-breathed Scriptures with authoritative and dogmatic teaching. The proclamation of the God-breathed Scriptures with authoritative and dogmatic teaching. And then the cal infinitive construct of amer, saying. So the corrected translation says so far, do not be like your forefathers. That is, do not be like the Jews in the day of Jeremiah, to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed loudly, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts. They said that loudly. Thus saith the Lord. I can still, Pastor Breckel, Bethany Bible Church, I can still see him. He'd be up there and here's a congregation of college kids. No adults. The adults were not interested in God or the Word of God. They were all college kids. They were the ones that were interested. And he'd be standing up there, and I can still see Ron, and he had a crew cut, white hair, crew cut, and he'd say, "Thus saith the Lord!" That was one of his favorite. And when he said, "Thus saith the Lord," his face got beet red. His eyes were blue. His hair was white. It was red, white, and blue. We all stood up. "Oh, say, can you?" We started singing the national anthem. "Thus saith the Lord." I can see Pastor Breckel to this day saying that. And I love that guy so much. And it was through that fantastic teaching of the Word of God by Ron Breckel at Washington State University in Bethany Bible Church, there was a spiritual revival, a fantastic spiritual revival. The entire campus at Washington State University, the city of Pullman, was turned upside down for Jesus Christ. Upside down for Jesus Christ. Through that fantastic, sound, doctrinal teaching. He was graduate of Dallas Seminary, majored in both Hebrew and Greek. He knew Hebrew and Greek. He taught from Hebrew and Greek. In fact, when the Greek professor, and by the way, there was no Greek on campus. There was a professor who was qualified to teach Greek, but he tried and tried and tried. Nobody came, wanted the class. Well, here Pastor Breckel is teaching and teaching and teaching, and here's all these people, and we got all these people with the gift of evangelism and gift of pastor teacher in the congregation, and we wanted to learn some Greek. So we went in to the professor, walked in his office. We said, "We understand you get qualified to teach Greek." He said, "Yes." "Well, we would like you to, would you start a class?" And there were six of us in there. And he said, "Will all six of you be there?" We go, "Of course we'll be there. There'll be probably 30 people there." "Well, okay. I'll start the Greek class." It was the first Greek class. And that class, there were over 30 kids there, and they were all from Bethany Bible Church. They were all students at WSU, Washington State University, but they were all from Bethany Bible Church. 30. And he walked in, and he looked, and he walked back out, and he walked back in and looked. Then he goes, "This is the biggest Greek class west of the Mississippi River." Now, he was Korean. He was just he did not want to lose anybody. But he had to go for sabbatical. And he came to Pastor Breckel, pastor of Bethany Bible Church, and said, "Would you teach the class on campus? Would you teach the Greek class on campus?" Ron Breckel said, "Yes, I will." So when Dr. Kim went on sabbatical, Pastor Breckel became the professor who taught Greek on campus at Washington State University. That was a unique time. There was a spiritual revival. There were so many men there that had the gift of pastor, teacher, and evangelism, and they all went to seminary, prepared for the ministry, and became pastors all over America, especially the Northwest. Pastors all over the Northwest. Todd Kennedy, who became the pastor in Spokane, Bruce Einspar became the pastor in the Tri-Cities area. These pastors all over the Northwest, men with the gift of evangelism who became missionaries and went to Italy and were missionaries in Italy. It was a phenomenal spiritual revival, and at the same time, a revival in America at that very same time. So we have, do not be like your forefathers, the Jews living in the day of Jeremiah, to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed loudly, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty. So do not be like your forefathers, the Jews in the day of Jeremiah, to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed, saying, thus says the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty. And then we have, turn now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. This is the Cal imperative of shuv, once again, with the particle na, plus the preposition min prefixed to the plural noun derek, with the second person plural suffix, plus the plural of the adjective ra, with the definite article, plus the conjunction vav, prefix to the plural of the noun ma'alal, with the second person plural suffix, plus the plural adjective ra, with the definite article repeated. Now, once again, we have the verb shuv. S-H-U-V, shuv. The verb to turn back to God, a verb for biblical repentance. But this time it is the former prophets warning their forefathers. Warning the Jews in the day of Jeremiah to turn back to God and His Word. Shuv means to turn back, to return. The imperative mood once again is a mandate, command from the Lord of the armies, from Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord Almighty. This is a mandate, a command, turn back to God and His Word. But in their great arrogance and negative volition, they did not change their thinking. They did not repent. They did not turn back to God and His Word. And therefore, they came under the judgment of the fifth cycle of national discipline. They came under military invasion by Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldean army. And the result was total destruction of the southern kingdom, Judah. It resulted in the slaughter of the Jewish people. Old men, women, children, slaughtered. And for those few survivors, they were placed on a death march back to Babylon and into slavery. With the imperative of the verb shuv, we have the particle of exhortation, na. N-A, olive, na. And na expresses an admonition or a warning. With the imperative, which is what we have, it expresses an exhortation that should be correctly translated, turn back now before it's too late. Turn back now before it's too late. Very, very emphatic. Now we have what they are to repent from. Two things. Your evil ways and your evil doings. And that's where we're going to start. Just almost lost one knee right there. That's where we're going to start next week. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. We thank you for the absolute truth of your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.